Hi, welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and today I'm here with my guest, Tim Lennon from the Drupal Association. Hi, Tim. Great to have you on the show.
Hey. Hi, Oliver. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Tell folks a little bit about myself. Yeah, I'm the Chief Technology Officer at the Drupal Association. So that means these days I run the team that builds the tools that help people build Drupal. Because as an open source project, of course, we're not doing all of that in-house. We're really providing support and infrastructure that lets the very, very large community do all of that contribution, and we do our best to accelerate that process, make it faster, provide that support. And I'm here in currently snowy and icy Portland, Oregon. And on an interesting note, this is where the Drupal Association first had physical offices back when those were a thing. And that was actually, even though it was virtual, this is how I first met Oliver. So our listeners will be interested to know that we worked together at the DA more than, well, around 10 years ago now, 9 years ago now, something like that.
Yeah, might be going to 10
And
now.
yeah, which was a really good experience. Back then, we were involved in, well, you were involved in the Drupal 6 to Drupal 7 upgrade,
That's right.
which will be an interesting echo of other topics we'll talk about today, along with a lot of other cool things for the community. So, yeah, my pleasure to be here. My pleasure to talk a little bit more about the Drupal Association, and excited to get into it.
I think it was the old, was it police headquarter building or something in downtown Portland, is where the office used to be.
Yes, it was. It was the historic original police headquarters building, and we were on the ground floor in that kind of atrium building, which unfortunately led to some interesting incidents when people would see the plaque on the wall, think it was still the police headquarters, and then come inside looking for help or or looking at some for someone to rant at. So it was a little bit exciting, but those were an interesting 18 months.
We used to have the t-shirts up on sort of mannequins as well, didn't we, from the old
Oh
DrupalCons,
yes.
and people would walk in thinking it was some sort of printing shop or something as well.
Yep,
all
yep.
these t-shirts everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, good times. Funny enough, I was at the PHP Southwest, which is my local PHP meetup recently, and was speaking to people who'd come over from Bath, so a little bit of a travel away. And I was explaining that I think I've probably got a record of some description for the furthest travel to attend a meetup. Because one of the times when I was at the DA office for the on-site, Puppet Labs were just down the road, and I was doing quite a lot of Puppet at the time. So infrastructure as code type work. And myself, I think Ryan and Rudy, I think may have all
That's
gone
probably who it was, yeah.
This Puppet Labs meetup in the pub in the Puppet meetup in the Puppet Labs office, and of course everyone's like, "Yeah, I've just come from wherever," and I'm like, "Yeah, I've come from Wales," like, not specifically for this meetup, but
Yeah.
it was cool.
At DrupalCon, it's normally the New Zealanders or the Australians who get the furthest distance traveled, but for that one, I'm sure you had it nailed.
Yeah, maybe, but no, it's good. Good times. And yeah, I really, yeah, we're both at obviously DrupalCon in Lille a couple of months ago. And yeah, it's always great for me personally to have some time to catch up with the DA. And so the engineering team, which is fairly constant, obviously with yourself and Neil, this is sort of the core thing there still. And then, of course,
Yeah,
a couple of new
so I
people as well
think,
now.
let's see, Brendan and Neil and I have all been there in the
And
region
Brendan, of
of
course, yeah.
10 years. And then some new faces as well. We've got Fran and Alex, all folks you'll see on Drupal.org or around in the Drupal Slack if you're out there in the community and looking for some help from the engineering team.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I was chatting with Eric earlier on, who runs violinist.io, and we talk about SaaS products and everything, and you sort of assume that there's like these products there that work well, and you sort of assume that there's big teams behind them. And I think we were in the GitLab session, Boff, and I was like, yeah, there's the engineering team over there, those four guys at the table in the corner. That's the whole engineering team. It's not this
Yep.
big giant thing that people maybe assume that it is.
Yeah, and that's a good point, and maybe that's a good segue because for some of the folks out there, especially those who are in the more general PHP or developer ecosystem, not necessarily in the Drupal space, maybe I can talk a little bit more about what the DA is and what we are. So Because the Drupal Association, we're a nonprofit organization. In the US, we have a 501c3 nonprofit classification, which makes us an educational nonprofit. And basically, as a nonprofit, our mission is to promote, support, and educate users in the Drupal community. We do a lot of things to promote Drupal as a digital public good, is kind of the idea. And we recently got recognition as a digital public good from a the UN-based Digital Public Goods Alliance, which is really exciting. It was a good thing for us. And so and their website was built on Drupal, so it seemed like a natural fit. But in particular, we're a staff of only about 15 people total, and I don't mean the engineering team, I mean everybody. There's five on the engineering team right now, and there's but then there's our folks who work with our partners, who help us do a lot in terms of contributions to Drupal, putting on DrupalCons for the community, all of these sorts of things. Folks who organize community events and interface with the community, folks who obviously handle the financial side of being a nonprofit organization. But our overall goal is to be a sort of service organization that supports this open source community around Drupal. So, and that means a few key things. That means DrupalCon as one of our major programs, happening usually twice a year in the United States and in North America. And then occasionally, when we're able to make the budget work, we will have a third con in a place like India. We had DrupalCon Asia there, or Latin America in Bogota in years past. We'd love to do that sort of thing again. And then the other major category of things that we do is everything to do with Drupal.org. So Drupal.org is run and maintained by the Drupal Association, and that is all of the documentation about Drupal, all of the multilingual localization stuff, the Drupal jobs board, a variety of other things, but most importantly, the project hosting, the actual Git repositories for Drupal core, and the, I think we're now up to 50,000 total contributed modules and themes. I think only about 10,000 are relevant to the newest version of Drupal, but in the 23-year history of Drupal, that's been a lot of code and a lot of different versions. So we try and manage all those things and find the best ways we can help the community at the right time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think probably a lot of people know DrupalCon, the Drupal Association, and know the conference side, but sort of assume that Drupal.org is just a thing that's there and will be there and forever. Don't sort of realize it's run by this small team, as in the DA, but also the smaller team, as in the engineering department team within it. And yeah, I think if people sort of realize the amount that then happens, obviously it's contributes to by volunteers as well in some respects. I'm thinking back to Drupal CI, which is the thing that was going on back in the day. But yeah, just have
Yeah,
it all sort of managed by teams.
we're very fortunate that there are a lot of folks in the community who are passionate about the tools that they're using to contribute to Drupal, of course, right? So they have stepped forward yourself, even after you left your role at the Drupal Association, but a number of other people will always step up and help us out with different kinds of things on Drupal.org. We'll talk about this a bit later with some of the initiatives we've been working on, but the community has been pretty essential to a lot of those things. And then on the flip side, one of the major advantages of having a dedicated team with a dedicated budget and full-time staff is we can also handle a lot of the things that are not a good use of community resources. There's a lot of care and feeding and basic maintenance and, managing security updates and stuff where that's not something you have a volunteer come in and do at nights on weekends. And it's also not a good place to spend their valuable energy when they could be doing something more impactful with new features to the project itself. So we try and do all of those things. Although actually lately we're also involved more in initiatives directly related to Drupal. So we've been working with the Automatic Updates Initiative, with the Project Browser Initiative, with the Recipes Initiative. So there are other places where we have a direct impact on Drupal as a product too. I don't want to suggest we're totally hands off. But yeah, our primary goal is empowering the community. So.
Yeah, I think that was always the same. Back in the day, I think there was sometimes this misunderstanding from people who maybe see sort of Automattic and WordPress and that relationship And then maybe
Oh, yeah.
sort of get confused between how the DA fits into Drupal, the project, or potentially also other, I'm thinking maybe like Acquia and other, some of the other big ones, how that relationship all works, which is, it's quite different that the fact that there's this, that it's non-profit compared to the way it's structured and organized is quite different, like, from what I
Yeah,
understand.
there's a lot of open source projects that have a like single entity primary actor kind of a thing where they have some large for-profit entity. So, the Automattic and WordPress relationship is a common example that people use. Talking about Puppet back in the day, right? Puppet had it was technically an open source project, but it had Puppet Enterprise and it had an
That's
enterprise
right.
organization of quite a few employees. And a lot of folks work that way. And that's a good method to get a lot more funding, maybe to have a bigger internal team. But it also often means that you don't have as many outside contributors or as broad a base of contributors because everybody sort of assumes that this one entity will take care of things. And it's really different in Drupal. Yes, there's some big players in the community. You have, your Acquias, your Platforms SH, your Pantheons, those kinds of folks. People like Acquia especially have a big Drupal acceleration team that they devote to contribution. But it's not the same thing where they own and run the governance of either the association or the open source project, right? Even as donors to the DA, none of them donate more than, I think, not even, I don't think it's even close to 10% of our annual budget from any single source, right? So it's really quite divided up. And so there's really more than, there's like 1,100 ecosystem partners that are all part of contributing to the DA and DrupalCon that let us be a little bit more independent in what we do, even if we're not as well funded as we would be if we had a big corporate backer. I think that's really good. And we work pretty closely with the governance of the project. So the Drupal Association has a board of directors. Dries, who's also the project founder, is on that board of directors along with people nominated by existing board members or elected in our community election process. And they set strategic direction for us inside the association. But we also collaborate with the project governance hierarchy, which has Dries as the project lead. It has the core maintainers, as we call them, who have a variety of roles: product managers, framework managers, release managers, subsystem maintainers, all these different things. And so we collaborate together on all the places we overlap, places where Drupal's core roadmap needs support from infrastructure, places where we have a shared goal in terms of auto updates is a great example, right? We want, as the infrastructure provider for the Drupal project, to provide supply chain security. They want to have a better, easier way to update Drupal. So it's natural we work together on initiatives like that. And lastly, I'll say the Drupal Association is also a membership organization. So we have somewhere between 1,000, maybe closer to 2,000 members, I think, who are individual members of the Drupal Association. And that's a way you can support us with, it's kind of a pay what you want situation. You can pay a couple bucks a year. You can pay $20 a month, whatever makes sense to you, whatever's valuable to you. And then that financial support goes straight into all of this work that we're doing, kind of the engineering stuff. And we make a heavy investment back into resources. We'll talk about, for example, just what we spend on testing, I think, a little bit later. So.
Yeah, I suppose that's where people may have seen it. If you're looking on Drupal.org, you might see ads on the side, the relevant advertisements or things are not just like general ads, but like specific ads that we're trying to find. But I think they said like if you're logged in as an association member, you don't see ads, for example. So that's maybe where people have seen that,
Yeah,
or board
there's little
elections.
things like that, and there's sometimes we'll do special like we do a membership breakfast at DrupalCon typically.
Okay, I didn't
So
know that.
if you're a member and you're attending DrupalCon, you're invited to join and meet other members and hear a little bit more about the DA. There's some other little benefits and things there as well, but also it's kind of just a way to show a little bit of support and commitment towards the work that we're doing. And as that support grows over time, we can slowly grow and do more.
You get a nice badge on your Drupal.org profile, and if you and your DrupalCon badge as well,
Yes, indeed.
which is quite nice. So yeah, you can just stick that little sticker on there. I may have done some work on that at some point, actually, if I remember. I think it was using CPCRM back then, if I remember
Oh,
rightly. And it
yes,
was using
indeed.
using that. So yeah, the other thing, board elections, I think, as well. Don't, is members, if you're a member, do you
Yes,
get
that's
to
right.
vote for the community seats?
So as I just mentioned, the board of directors is usually a total, I believe, according to the bylaws, it can be between 12 and 15 seats, I think, depending on whether they choose to fill every seat. But there's always two of those seats are always community elected seats. And so and we that we alternate their 2-year terms. So there's an election every year for one of those seats. And Drupal Association members are the ones who can vote in those elections. Anybody can nominate, but members can vote, and that's how we've gotten the great folks who've been in these seats in the past. So the most recently elected was Faye Loren, who's also heavily involved in the Drupal Diversity and Inclusion Initiative and in a variety of other places, helping with DrupalCon organizing. And is a great representative on the board, and someone that I'm enjoying working with in her new role. And she took the seat as Mike Herschel rolled off, who was another great community member who, for the Drupal Insiders, worked on Olivero, a lot of front-end things, and was another great person and advocate. So it's a really nice part of our board structure to help ensure that there's close community voices involved.
I could probably name quite a few people who like just name drop people in the community who
Yeah,
are, but
exactly.
let's not
There's a
do
lot of
that.
them.
Yeah, but I think the elections sort of their own thing as well. And I think, yeah, because you've got to, so I remember being at Drupal Camp London, it must have been, and people were going around with badges or stickers or something, or pins or something, and like vote for me at the upcoming board election. I
Yes,
think
exactly. There
it was cool.
people start campaigning for this kind of thing, which is fun. And it varies a lot depending on what's going on. I won't say that sometimes if there's been a, let's say, a policy stumble or a little bit of drama going on, that can really energize the voters, and that's a good thing. We want people to who have strong opinions to say, hey, we want representation, we want a voice heard, and that's a good way to help affect change, or to help better understand what's going on, right? And the role of that board, just to clarify for folks, right, that's not the Drupal project board. It doesn't govern Drupal as a software project. It governs the Drupal Association as the nonprofit that supports it. So it also comes with, the financial responsibility for oversight and for thinking about the jobs of all the DA employees and all of the things that go together, along with our role within the Drupal project.
Yeah, I think that's something, go back to sort of the WordPress automatic example, thinking about also Symfony and Sensio Labs, or Symfony Corp, whatever it's called now, is the new thing, or Laravel as well. Like, that's not the same in any of those sort of projects where they've got separate boards and separate governments. And it's quite different to all those other
It is
examples that
very
just spring to
different,
mind.
and it's very, very different. And philosophically, I really like it. I'm kind of proud of the fact that it has this independence and separation, and I think overall it's a good thing, even though, as I say, it is challenging because we don't sell premium Drupal services, so we don't have an obvious revenue stream. It comes from the support of not just one company, but a lot of companies together. So,
Is that sort of a supporting partner program was the thing, I think it was called at the time. So is
yeah,
that anything to do with
exactly.
supporting partners?
So that support, the majority of our support, so there's a lot of support that comes from individual members, which is great. There's sponsors at DrupalCon, but the majority of our support comes from our supporting partner program and our Drupal Certified Partner program. And these are both programs where businesses, usually ones who sell Drupal services, choose to become supporting partners of the Drupal Association. And that gives you a variety of benefits, even though, the primary goal, right, you're supporting a nonprofit organization, right? So it's not like a, it's not an advertising deal or that kind of thing, really. But it's about supporting the project and supporting the community and hopefully supporting an organization that's helping your business. But at the same time, it does come with some benefits. You typically get discounts to send your staff to DrupalCons. Depending on your levels, there's advertising opportunities on Drupal.org, featured case studies, a variety of things, all the way up to and including co-hosted webinars with us and things like that. Lots of things that can help support an organization that supports us. There are different ways that we want to say thank you for that support. The more recent change to that program is the Drupal Certified Partner Program part, which is, I would say, sort of the top level of the supporting partner program, where if, in addition to supporting us financially, you are also a recognized contributor to the project as an organization, based on the contribution credit system we have in Drupal, you then qualify for different levels of this partner certification. And we also look for, at some of your case studies and things like that, because it's our strong belief that the best partners for a customer who wants to implement Drupal are going to be the people who've contributed to Drupal. They will be the biggest experts who really know the code inside out because they've contributed to before, because they've worked in those trenches. And so they'll do the best work for you. And so those certified partners go to the top of our marketplace. They have additional benefits, and they do this contribution. And even that in and of itself, I think, is a benefit, because if you're part of the team building Drupal, you can help shape its direction to the needs that you see for your clients and your business in the future as well. So.
Yeah, so it's been something I've encouraged people to do, and when working on in my sort of agency days primarily, if you're working on maybe a feature for a client or something, like if say someone's wanting to learn more about React or something, like why not get involved with the navigation modernization initiative or whatever it's called these days, or some just to pick something a little bit out of the air, like, because then you're going to learn more about what it does, and surely then you're going to be able to provide a better result and more value to the end client, having spent that bit of time contributing. It's more becomes where that time comes from, which is why I'm a big
Exactly.
advocate of like
I think one of the
20%
huge
time and things like
examples,
that.
I think one of the huge examples of that is in the Layout Builder initiative, or in, let's say, in page building in general, right? Whether you're someone a shop that uses Paragraphs for layout, Layout Builder in core, or something else. Display Suite was a thing for a while,
That's right.
especially in 7. A variety of these different things. And the when a core Layout Builder initiative became a thing, it was really important to get people involved who did real client work, because that's who this was for, right? This is like
Exactly.
the number most one most requested feature is that make it easier for end users to build layouts in their pages. And there's a next generation page builder initiative that was announced at the last DriesNote, that Lori, as one of the Drupal product managers in the core maintainer team, is working on, that's looking at Layout Builder and also looking at what the community is doing in other places and going, so what's the next generation of that? And again, it'll only be better if folks get involved who have more direct client experience. So it's a good place if you're thinking about, well, where do I fit in, and what can I do? How can I contribute in a way that will also help me? That's a good spot to do it. So,
Yeah, I think his name's gone. It's gone now completely. It's right. It'll come back to me in a minute, I'm sure. Okie dokie. Oh, that's annoying now. It's something
tip
important.
of
Damn
your
it.
tongue. Yep.
Duh, it'll come back to me in a minute. Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, okay. How then does completely off my place. Bloody hell. It's right. I did this bit out. It's
All
fine.
good, all good.
What was I going to ask about? Contribution. It'll come back to me in a minute, I'm sure. Yeah, the other thing I was speaking with Eric about earlier on was about Drupal as a project, how it's matured. So over the time that we'd both been using it, and I was looking back to things like Drupal Dog issue queues and Drupal CI or test bots as it was back then. But you mentioned the contribution system, and again, I remember being at, it must have been Drupal Camp London, so it must have been 2015, 16, oh,
16,
somewhere around
probably.
that maybe. I was speaking with Jenny Wong, who does a lot of WordPress and PHP contribution, and she came and joined us at our table for breakfast. And we were speaking on the way to the venue, and we were talking about issue queue and the contribution credit. I think Dries had just announced it then, or announced it in a Dries note with how it might look. And it was, I remember the sort of weird git commit syntax that he was going to do. It was like at company name and star person or whatever it was. I was explaining at least the concept. Maybe there was some implementation there, but I was explaining how this worked, and it was, as a community, seemed so quite far ahead at the time. But that's, and to see that mature over time as well, it's been really interesting to see.
No, it's crazy interesting. Just the the credit system or contribution recognition system or whatever, however we want to call it, has been, I think it's been huge. And it's the crazy thing to me is that even though we did implement it first in 2016, based on an original vision from Dries, the fact that it's not been replicated really in other communities yet is surprising to me because it's so valuable to us. And I think other folks have some things to this, but as a quick overview, in any basically anything you work on Drupal.org, particularly an issue in the issue queue, you have the option to say to attribute that work and say, I did this night as a volunteer, I did this on behalf of an employer or on behalf of one or more clients, right? They sponsored my time, et cetera, et cetera. It rolls up all of those attributions at the bottom. And then when the maintainer is closing the issue, they can say, okay, here are the people who really helped. And then we translate that into credits that we display for qualifying to be in the certified partner program, to adjust your marketplace ranking, that people have started using in their bids for Drupal work. Like there are government agencies who say, we want you to have at least X contribution credits in order to bid for this contract. Like, because again, they recognize that that's a sign of quality engineering. Like all of these things that are super, super valuable. And among other things, it also just lets us measure the community. We know that it's close to 70% of contributors are actually being sponsored by their employer, which implies a healthy ecosystem, right? You can hopefully find work that supports yourself in Drupal and find people who employ you who understand open source and are willing to give you some time to give back. Those are both really good signs. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things that have come out of that. And then, and a lot of other maturity too, right? So that's an amazing tool that we put together, but we're also modernizing developer tools and developer experience. And a lot of that has to do with what we've been doing with GitLab lately.
Yeah, we're having the sort of GitHub, so running a very custom Git implementation back in my DA days, and we were
Yes.
then having discussions around what do we do to modernize this, and we were looking at do we do something like a GitHub. I think that was the obvious option for a lot of people. Could we air quotes just move everything to GitHub, which of course isn't that simple. I think we also looked at sort of Bitbucket and GitLab, I think maybe then, and if I remember rightly, it picked one, and then the GitLab CEO came in the issue queue and said, "Oh, we can make those changes that you need," and went and did it, and went on
Yeah,
from there, if I remember
it
rightly.
was a remarkable experience, but yeah, no, you remember it pretty well. The idea was, first of all, for folks listening who are not as familiar, right? Because Drupal is 23 years old, and because Drupal.org is basically that old too, we literally predate Git, not just GitHub, but like Git as a version control system. So we were using CVS at one point, and there was a great Git migration. And
That's
then
right.
we still predated GitHub. So we had our own Git daemon that we were running and all of these things. And we had all this infrastructure that we'd built. And we'd built an issue queue that was really quite good. And in some ways is still better than some of these ticket trackers because you can do a lot more with fielding in Drupal and custom statuses and metadata. But anyway, so we'd built all these things and we'd also built a Drupal way of working that was kind of different for open source collaboration from a lot of other projects, right? So in the Linux kernel, and I think you still do this, you were just emailing patches back and forth. And in some other projects, you might have everybody has access to this one CVS directory or whatever. And then and we built our own thing, which I'll talk about. And but then it, once GitHub came, the standardized pull request workflow became the fundamental way that you contribute to open source. Which is good and which is what everyone learns, but it does have one problem with it, which is that all your work is done in forks of forks of forks of forks. It's very easy to contribute as an individual. It's actually harder to contribute as a group to the same thing. And that was something that we figured out how to do really well in the Drupal community. We had a single issues with sort of single solutions to problems instead of multiple ideas. I think we averaged, especially in the core queue, at least six different people contributing to every issue as an average, which is really high. And we wanted to figure out how to preserve that. So one of our goals when we were picking tools is finding ways, something that gave us enough permissioning control so that we could automatically grant contributors access to the same fork and merge request that other people were working on so that we could continue to work in that collaborative way. And yeah, we looked at a variety of tools where we could do this. GitHub, we couldn't run our own hosted version. There was no customization available at the time, and the team didn't have, they weren't empowered to add new features that we might need. Bitbucket was customizable enough to do it, but it was an Atlassian product, and folks were not necessarily thrilled about that. People have strong opinions one way or the other on the maker of Jira. And then GitLab, when we very first evaluated this, they had just come on the scene. Like
It was
a
new,
lot
yeah.
of things didn't exist. They were still building out all their features. But like you said, their CEO had an account on Drupal.org. He'd had it before. It wasn't a brand new account. It was 4 years
Remember
old. He
checking it. Either I checked it or Ryan checked. Somebody went in and checked it and said, "Have they made that? Is this a genuine account, or have they just made it?" And be like, "No, it's been there for you for years." I
Yeah,
think.
they'd clearly been watching our community before. And popped in and said, "Hey, we really want Drupal to try this and we'll support it with some dedicated development resources." So that got us into our next major initiative, which was, okay, we have a tool that is super well funded, is built in a very open source way with an open source ethics at the company and the way they do everything, which is awesome. That aligns with our values. And now we got to move things over and transition people. And that's been a multi-phase process. We actually got everything moved over on the back end to a GitLab instance a while ago now, years ago now. So all the repository hosting was there. There was no weird custom Git daemon written in Python or whatever anymore. And then we started adding the front end features, right? So that meant enabling the inline code editing, code review tools, the kind of web IDE features of GitLab in kind of the first wave. Then enabling GitLab CI and GitLab Pages functionality, which has been a huge deal. It's been available for a little while, but you've seen more news about it lately because Core has now fully adopted GitLab CI and it's been huge. We test runs for Drupal Core typically took about 1 hour to 1 hour and 20 minutes to complete. And these were on our old CI system, Drupal CI. And these were not on weak machines. These were AWS EC2 spot instances, usually 32 core, 64 gigs of RAM, all these things, RAM disk mounted, and they could still take 1 hour and 10 minutes to complete a test run. Back when we tested with Travis, for example, we would time out. We would hit the
Gosh, yeah.
maximum limit and it would just time out and it wouldn't work. Ditto on GitLab.com, even today. If you take the same CI configuration that we have on our self-hosted GitLab instance and run it on GitLab.com's runners, it times out. It doesn't fit in their thing. But we managed to really optimize this. So the 1 hour and 10 minute run is highly parallelized. It's using every trick in the book that we can think of, and it now runs in as little as 7 minutes and 30 seconds, which by itself is just an enormous improvement for core development velocity. It's huge.
Yes, when Drupal Core, I think I was in that boff, and they'd said that, and I think it was a big round of applause from everybody at that point, because that's huge as a reduction in time, and from both from a productivity perspective, but also if you think like we don't have servers running for like 1 hour doing tests now, so it's got to be a good
Yeah,
environmental
well,
improvement as well.
unfortunately, the trick to it is we're technically still using just about the same amount of compute. We're just parallelizing across Kubernetes better and all these sorts of things. So our bill isn't smaller. The DA spends about $20,000 a month just to run the test bots for the community. Which is a big chunk of our budget, right? That could be multiple dedicated core developers, right, for that kind of money. But it's important because it empowers everyone in the community. But it's a big deal, and it was really exciting to get that done. And that's again one of the things that the only reason we can offer such a robust level of testing, right, faster than GitHub, faster than GitLab.com, faster than the old CI services, is because members and partners help us fill that budget, or else we'd have to throttle it or set a quota. And fortunately, so far, we don't have to do that.
Yeah, I think the phrase was, you may have said something similar earlier on, or maybe this exactly, to say we didn't build Drupal, we built the tools that allow the community to build Drupal. At least that's how I remember it. So yeah, things like making the tests run faster, building the infrastructure around the GitHub
And as we
application.
spoke about before, that's not something we did by ourselves. Well, that's something we did with the help of a huge number of community members, right? Core developers, just folks who had a particular interest in CI, key contributors, staff. And when I say staff, I mean like the first phase of writing our GitLab templates was me, right? Because we're a small enough team that the CTO gets their hands dirty, right? I'm on our pager rotation too for infrastructure issues, right? It's not a sit in the office and delegate kind of role, but no,
I
it was
do
really
remember
good.
having an outage issue with a report once, but let's not go there.
Yes. This it is sometimes I have at least twice broken production, so it's not always a good thing to have your CTO have the keys to everything, but
No, we were
no,
out like
but
curling or something, and something went down, and everybody's phone started beeping. But that was it. It happened.
Yeah.
No, I migrated override node options module. It's probably the biggest one that I maintain still. So yeah, I migrated that one onto GitLab CI whilst we were at DrupalCon. So that's what I did on Contribution Day this year, was move that across before jumping back on the train. It was really easy. So you said there were some templates, put the templates in the thing. Found some tests that were failing because Core had changed some of the messaging that was coming out depending whether something was found. So they had better messaging than what was there before, but it wasn't matching what the test assertions were. So I had to go and fix them. So
Sure.
that was a little bit interesting, given I was there giving a talk on testing at DrupalCon. So that was good. But yeah, it was really easy to get going. And then yeah, any new sort of merge requests or I think I'll just have GitLab CI running on them.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
we're focusing on deprecating the old testing. So, you won't be able to use patches on Drupal.org anymore after a little while. Probably by this summer, Drupal CI will be totally shut down, if not sooner. So everybody out there should go ahead and convert. And as Oliver just mentioned, we have these templates. And these templates are—I haven't seen examples of them, like robust examples of the same idea, really, from anybody else. I'm actually hoping to talk to some of my associates at GitLab to see if we can post a case study about how we built these templates, because they really do make it easy. If you're a regular contrib maintainer, you can pretty much commit the template, see it. GitLab CI file and just let it go. There's you almost don't have to do any configuration even because it's using include files from a repository that we centrally maintain to automatically update variables for like what's the current version of Core, what's the current version of PHP that you should be testing against. All that stuff we can centrally update and you don't have to change a thing, you don't have to recommit anything. It's just once you have the template, it kind of puts you on that path. And you can customize and override it to your heart's content, but it's trying to make it easy for everyone out there.
Yeah, I remember looking at the template and going, but where's this? And then when you say it's pulling in includes from somewhere else, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And I was like, yeah, that was great. I think it runs, tests, but I think it runs PHP CodeSniffer, and I think it runs PHP Stat now as well, I think. So by default, it'd be quite interesting.
The library that underlies this Drupal Rector stuff, which is to say, yeah, it will also it's already more feature rich, significantly more feature rich than what you had with Drupal CI. So it'll help you catch deprecations before the project update bot does. It does all sorts of things. So yeah, really worth checking out. I think it's worth anybody's time who's a module maintainer who's implemented any amount of testing at all, it'll be a better experience for you than Drupal CI. So,
Yeah, also maybe pre-Drupal CI going and spinning up test bots on the old AWS infrastructure because the tests were running slow or running out of test runners or something. I think I'd step out of a keynote session that I wasn't giving
Oh, those
to spin
days.
up more test bots at a conference at a Drupal camp maybe. That was fun. So we talked about the DA engineering team. It's four or five people. I think so. But none of those are like actual full-time core Drupal core developers. They're all working on
We don't have a single person who is, again, design whose job role is specifically to contribute to Drupal or Drupal core. That's not to say we don't do it. I think everybody on the team has contributed in one way or another. And like recently, for example, Fran on the team has done a lot of work related to Project Browser and different things like that, just because it overlaps with some Drupal Association infrastructure. But today, this team is sort of the Drupal infrastructure team or the Drupal.org team. It's not a Drupal acceleration team. And we have talked about whether it would be possible to create a Drupal acceleration team inside the DA as well. I think that would be something that we would like to do, but it is a matter of funding, right? If we need to be able to fund those roles or find partners who might be willing to work with us to endow a role, right? Like if someone says, hey, I can chip in for 20% of a core developer and I can do 20% of a core developer. If we can get five partners to agree to that, then we can add a core developer and we can credit all of them for the work that that person contributes. So that might be an idea of how we create something like that. But yeah, it's not something we have today. So it's maybe an opportunity in the future.
Yeah, I was sort of saying earlier on about I'm a big advocate when I can do it about trying to find some dedicated time for people to do contributions or to work on their own things, sort of a 20% time sort of model. But yeah, you don't, and Acquia, maybe you said the acceleration team, you don't see many people contributing to core full time. I know
Yeah, there are
Jess
definitely
or
some.
XJM was one who was doing things for a while, but
She was, although she's not full time on it at the moment, I don't
no.
think. She changed roles and is not able to be full time sponsored, although she still does core work, including security. As we're recording, there was a security release today that she recorded, or that she coordinated, excuse me. And I think you can also sponsor her individually on Patreon and things like that to help support her work. But yeah, that's the thing. There aren't a huge amount of dedicated full-time core contributors. There's probably, I don't know if there's more than a dozen, two dozen maybe, across all the companies in the ecosystem that are truly full-time. At most, it's a good question.
Yes, I
But
know.
anyway,
Yeah, and I was speaking with Stuart and then Dave Long, who work at Full Fat Things. They were in the contribution room, so I saw. I remember meeting Dave at a few conferences and things before, so it was nice to speak to them. But I don't know how much of that he does full time compared to client work, but it would be interesting to find out more about how that model would work potentially. Really interesting, and yeah, I remember Neil was doing some work on that. I think I did some work with the security team
I'm
for a
sure you
bit as
did, yeah.
well. Bowman Neil. So you said there's some crossover there, but yeah, the DA and the engineering team are not like developing Drupal core itself unless it where it's
Yeah,
there.
except right now that are the places we do that are only in places where it overlaps with an infrastructure need, right? Because most software needs to talk to a server at some point, right? So if you're collecting updates information, if you're collecting the list of projects to see what you can download to install on your site, if you're getting bundles of pre-configured recipes, right? Those are all things where Drupal.org is actually kind of part of the product. So it makes sense for us to contribute in areas like that. But sort of outside of that, like, would the Drupal Association directly contribute to the next generation page builder? Right now, we don't have the kind of capacity to do that. But if it's possible to make this idea of a Drupal acceleration team at the DA a reality, then maybe we could. And so it's an interesting question and an interesting thing for us to try and figure out if we can su support and explore. Because again, the difference at the DA is we can't offset those salaries with client work. That's not what we do. We're a nonprofit, so we do have to find a way to make that work.
Yeah, I remember being like, yeah, obviously work from home, it was okay, but like if you're at a Drupal camp, you can't be wearing an Acquia shirt or something because you need to be separate to obviously everybody else because we're not there as service providers and you're there as an individual sort of independent not-for-profit thing. Does it work the other way as well? Because you say with people are working on different things, but I remember in core, but I remember when I joined, I think we just moved or just moved Drupal.org onto Drupal 7, and we were doing some cleanup from Drupal 6, and we were pre-Drupal 8 being launched. And I remember the discussions around Drupal.org itself being a blocker for Drupal 8's release. So obviously,
Yes.
there's a bit of a
So
coupling the other way around as well, potentially.
there is some of that, yes. And we're running into that at the moment, for example, for things like the project browser, because we want to have the project browser be running on the most modern Drupal 10 JSON API as its endpoint, not on the older Drupal 7 XML endpoint. And so that does become a blocker on us being able to get everything upgraded, right? And we do look to community folks. You and I have had a conversation about whether people can help us get some parts of Drupal.org done more quickly, especially where they are blockers, and also ways that we can separate those blockers into smaller pieces so we don't have to do the whole of Drupal.org all at once to make any changes. Because that was the big problem in the 6 to 7 era, especially. It was very difficult. We basically couldn't do a single piece at a time. We kind of had to do the whole thing as a big bang. That was really like right before I came on, or right as I was coming on board. But and so we're trying to find ways to make sure to work around that. And folks can definitely help us out. And it's just some things make more sense than others, right? Features, I don't mean capital F features, but like literally, website features, kind of those sorts of like functionality type stuff make sense for contributors. Service type stuff or infrastructure type stuff makes less sense for volunteers usually, because it usually requires like specific domain knowledge of how we have things set up and extra levels of access. So some things make more sense than others for sure.
So Drupal 7, I believe, was launched 2011, I think, maybe 2011, if I'm remembering my
Believe that's right.
guys correctly. It's due to be end of life next year. Had some extensions, so it was going to go end of life once, and it got extended, and then extended again, if I'm remembering correctly. But I remember seeing conversations on Twitter or LinkedIn or somewhere, like, it will be supported until Drupal.org is updated, or something to that effect, which I wasn't, yeah, I was like, I don't think that's quite right. But how
No,
does the
no.
Drupal 7 end of life date sort of affect the DA or affect Drupal.org?
Drupal.org's got to update, to be honest. We are like anybody else. The if you're on a Drupal 7 site out there, you need to update too. it's time to get your Drupal 10 migration planned and done and in progress. And we have a lot of work in development environment moving us towards that goal as well. So that's a big deal. And it's something that we are actively working on. It will not be, the end of life will not be extended, just even if we are not totally ready on Drupal.org. There might be some special consideration where we keep an eye on certain potential security things if some things are going to take slightly longer. We hope that's not the case. Just in the interest of protecting the infrastructure that the rest of Drupal is using. But no, really, the truth is it means we got to make that migration happen this year. We have 354 days or something from this recording.
Yeah, big countdown in the in Tim's nose.
Yes,
But like,
exactly.
yeah.
And it'll be the end of life is Drupal 7's 14th birthday.
Right.
So like I
It's been
there's
long enough.
not very much software in the world that has been supported, fully supported for 14 years. So I think it's had a really good run, and we've given people lots and lots of time from the 8, 9, and 10 cycle to start working on this.
Yeah, there's still a lot of Drupal 7 sites out there, though. I was looking
There are.
some recently, and some of my previous clients are still running Drupal 7, and they probably will until it stops working. And yeah, then they'll probably need to move it. But yeah, it's been probably long enough, I'd say personally. But and even though cause my sort of view of it has been the core has obviously been supported by the security team and everybody, but a lot of the contrib space has really slowed down as people have
True.
moved on to
Yeah.
Drupal 8, Drupal 9, Drupal 10, and really
Very
focused
true.
on those new versions. So even though
Yeah,
it's
and
still
I, there's a
supported.
lot of, we have fortunately seen more movement in 7 sites migrating in the last 6 months or so than we did in the previous 6 months or a year. So that's a good sign that the message is getting out there. And I would encourage most people to please try and do it before the end of life date, but I
Yes.
know there are people who will truly not be able to convince their bosses that it's done until it's finally there's a red, hey, this version's unsupported message or something like that. And hopefully those of you out there can get some help for that. And speaking of which, there is a Drupal 7 end of life program. It's depending on the size of who you are. It offers like enterprise scale partners from our certified partner program. It offers mid-level partners for budgets that are a little bit smaller than that. And it also offers individual like smaller partners for perhaps individual site owners or small organizations, where folks like Oliver, hopefully you'll be on there shortly, but there's some other folks there who provide more affordable help for people who are looking for this. So we really wanted to make sure, especially because the Drupal 7 audience really did have a lot of smaller sites, that there was more support than just the big enterprise choices, which might not work for a lot of those small sites.
Yeah, I think that's just making that transition smoother. It's obviously a big move to go from 7 to 8 and then obviously 7 to 10 directly. But having done that and then moving from 8 to 9 to 10 is so much easier, and it takes maybe a couple of days. It all depends on the complexity of the site, but it's not a big rebuild, start again, like it was from 7 to 8. And
That's the
we
other thing is I hope people have heard the message that like, yeah, you do have to kind of rip off the Band-Aid to get off of 7 onto the modern version. But the modern versions, like the way we do deprecations and all of these things, was very carefully designed to try and make sure that the upgrades are not going to be that painful again, right? They're designed to make it easier to go from version to version from here on out. And I think it's been working, and it's only been getting better release after release. So.
Yeah, I think the first couple, there were a couple of regressions and things. I think as we found our feet, as in like the community, and it's a model that's worked very well in Symfony and other projects where they've got fixed release dates. So it's not when this feature is finished, it will be ready when it's ready, but it will be releasing on this day, and whatever's committed will be released. And if it's not ready, it'll go into the next release or a future one. So yeah, it was really good to see that being adopted. And yeah, this is also why we've got modules that work across multiple versions. I think some of mine still work on 8, 9, and 10 at the same time, which is really interesting. So
Yeah, actually.
you mentioned about Drupal.org moving off Drupal 7. Anything else on the roadmap for the engineering team in particular?
Well, we did talk about contribution enablement and developer tools. So one of the very biggest things, the next phase of that project is GitLab issues, right? So the issue queue is still on Drupal.org. And so the next major milestone is moving the issues themselves, migrating all the existing issues and having new issues be using the GitLab issue system, which will be interesting. We've already got a prototype of how this is going to work, a migration script, a lot of things in dev. There's some infrastructure side things that we're working on. And it'll be a little bit different. This will be a bit of a transition, but we're hoping that even though it's different, we can show some ways that it'll be helpful for people because it'll have Kanban boards, it'll have all sorts of other things. It'll have better integration with the rest of GitLab and make some things easier. But it doesn't have as robust metadata options, right? You don't have a custom version field and a custom component field and all these things that people might be used to at the top of their issues. So instead, all of that gets migrated into labels, and you can still use them to do searches and make custom boards and things like that. But there'll be a little bit of a learning curve with that. Related to that, we are behind the scenes also working with the security team on making sure their process can move as well, because they have a private issue tracker and they do a private testing thing. So in the background, that's actually been going on recently as well. But that's I think the big one to watch out for, roadmap wise going into the next DrupalCon and into this year.
There's two benefits I assume will come from that. One is going to be less code in Drupal.org, which would make any ongoing maintenance, technical debt, any future migrations easier because there's less code. But then also from a new contributor perspective, in Lille, I didn't mentor this time actually, but when we've mentored and done the first timer workshop and had to explain how patches and things work and how
Oh my
Drupal.org
gosh,
issues work, to be able to then go, this is GitLab. You more than likely either use it in your day job or something very similar to it, and replace the word pull with merge in various places, and you Probably, yeah. But it's a concept most people would be aware of, even if they do work on client projects, that the chances are they're probably doing pull requests
I think
or
that's
using
huge,
Azure
and
Tracker.
I think that's maybe even the most important reason that we're doing this, right? The whole GitLab thing is just, contributor onboarding, being able to continue to grow the community, all of these things. The long-term health of the community depends on it being easy for people to join, to contribute, and to onboard. And as my understanding from talking to the mentors is the mentoring process has gotten vastly easier because, like you said, even now you don't have to teach people the patch process anymore. You can merge requests already exist, they already work, they're more or less familiar. You do have to still teach people Drupal.org issue queues. So that's still a Drupalism that we haven't eliminated yet. But if we work towards that, that'll eliminate a hard thing that takes people to understand. But the other side of it is the tools, your local development setups and things like that. A, local development's gotten a lot easier if you use something like DDEV, but B, for a lot of the things that a new contributor wants to do, either using the GitLab web IDE directly or using Drupal Pod, which is based on Gitpod, lets them do a full development environment without any local machine setup at all. It's fully in browser. And those sorts of things save huge amounts of time onboarding people to contributions. So, I mean, it's gotten vastly easier to contribute to Drupal in the last several years than it has been in a very long time. And I think that's something to be proud of and something to keep working on. So.
I think it's the extension of that as well, contributing, but also evaluating. If you're working and want to
Yes.
evaluate Drupal as an option, there hasn't really been a good way of doing that until, more recently. And I believe the page now is something like you need PHP and Composer and run these commands, and it will download and does like Trash Quick Start or something. So that's an improvement. But again, if you can do something like on a cloud environment or something, I know Acquia have got Try Drupal
Yeah,
Page or something as well. Like
demo
the more you can do
experiences.
that.
And I think that's actually a place, it's better, but that's a place that could still use additional improvement because there's more and more tools that would make that possible. And I think we can keep making that better for sure.
So what's going on the DA outside of the engineering team? Anything? I was met some of the new people while I was at the at in Lille, and then like I said to you, I think it was Julia. I was sat next to her on the train home, so we got to chat a little bit about, like,
Yeah,
it
she's
was.
our director of philanthropy. So there's a bunch of different things. Joy on our team is going to various camps to understand local communities and their needs. Julia joined to do philanthropy related work and fundraising, which has been great. Like one of those things is the Sovereign Tech Fund in Germany funded us to the tune of about $300,000. To pay for some specific initiatives, the things that we were working on. So it's supporting some of the auto updates work, some of the GitLab work that we've talked about, various kinds of things. It's really great when that funding aligns with priorities that we already know we want to pursue and it can help us get them done. So there's a lot of things like that. And then, of course, DrupalCon Portland coming up in May. So kind of all hands on deck thinking about that stuff too. I would say the final thing is this was announced in keynotes and around various places. The board and I think the community are hungry for us to market Drupal itself to evaluators, to end users, better and more broadly. And that means outside of Drupal channels, right? A lot of what we do is inside to Drupal insiders, people who are already where we are. So this will mean going to events, external web events, CMS events. And representing Drupal there. This will mean new kinds of product marketing in technical comparisons on Drupal.org, a variety of other things that we still haven't quite figured out. But that plan was approved for this budget year. So that'll be something that's coming up soon as well.
Yeah, we talked with someone that some of the Drupal England Wales Association meeting that I'm sure, and some of the supporting partner DrupalCon meetings, we've discussed that situation of how do we get outside of the Drupal bubble to like the CMS conferences. And I believe there's one in the UK a number of years ago where a few agencies went under the Drupal banner and promoted as Drupal as a product, as a CMS, rather than as individual suppliers
Yeah,
or agencies.
just at Web Summit in Lisbon, in fact, which was a big deal. And yeah, there will likely be more of that sort of a thing. And certainly folks out there who, anyone listening who's like, gosh, why isn't Drupal here or here? let us know. Maybe that'll be
Yeah.
something that's on our list. You can reach out to us. The Drupal Association has a staff page on drupal.org that you can find pretty easily to contact us. So.
Yeah, I think there's also an I think it's the local gov initiative. A couple of people went along to the government conference, or I can't remember what it was called, GovCon, or I forgot what it was called, but yeah, we went to that
Drupal
as
for Gov,
well.
perhaps.
Maybe. But that was a nice collaboration with that and the local gov project as well. So getting out to go to a more sort of local government based conference to be like, we are Drupal, not just agency A or supply B. That was really interesting. And yeah, and I got to meet and speak with Tim Doyle, the CEO as well, the other Tim, at DrupalCon. So that was great to hear about from someone who'd, with Holly back in the day as well, and Megan and everybody. So it's great to see to meet Tim as well and hear a bit about his story. And he said about going, like, it wasn't his first official DrupalCon, but he'd been to one before undercover or
Yes,
something. I think that was
he had come
quite
in as a sort
interesting.
of secret shopper before his hiring was fully confirmed, just to, especially for the role of the CEO or executive director. Like, we really want them to get a sense of who the community is and what things are like. So if we can, we try and get them to a DrupalCon before we finalize the hiring process, because it's a really good way to do that. So we snuck him into Prague. So that he could get a real feel for it, which was, I think, a really good way to kick things off, right?
I imagine like an undercover boss type scenario where they do the makeup and the wig and everything on the buckle.
I was trench coat and the silly
Yeah. Yeah.
a fake mustache. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting point. Like, is there a deal? Because Holly and I think Meg were also executive director, and I think you were the interim one for a while. Is there a difference with that and CEO? Just of
That
interest,
is a
or?
good question. There isn't a, like, from a nonprofit legal status point of view, there's not really a difference. You can sort of select what title you'd like to use, but there's a difference in, I think, intent. So the board decided they wanted to call the role a CEO role rather than an ED role to reflect their intent to be growth focused, to be involved in this product marketing side. To try and, like, build up the DA to be a larger, more robust organization, to maybe build capability to contribute to product directly, all of those things. And they felt like they could communicate that to the potential candidates about, like, the kind of thing they're looking for by naming the role that way. I think that was this kind of reasoning that went behind it.
Okay, very interesting. So if people are listening and they want to contribute to the DA or to Drupal themselves, or maybe they run a company or work for a company and they want to be interested in contributing, what's the best way for them to get in touch and find out how they can contribute?
So I'll preface this by saying you can find all of this on drupal.org. So if any of this goes by you too quickly, you can always go there and find it. But if you work for an organization especially, you can email partnerships@association.drupal.org, and talk to us about how you would like to get involved on an organizational level. You could also email sponsors@association.drupal.org if you're interested in supporting us at DrupalCon and getting a taste for the community there. If you've never been to a DrupalCon before, that's an awesome place to reach a large amount of dedicated open source developers. It's a really good audience, especially if you come with an authentic presence that's got kind of the open source spirit to it. I think that's really powerful. If you want to support on an individual level, drupal.org/membership should take you to the right place to join as a member, which is something I really, really support. Those dollars basically go directly to my team and supporting the engineering work and the testing that happens. But also, I would say, just if you want to contribute or participate in the community, there's a number of things you can do. Drupal.org has a slash community section that describes a lot of channels. So you can find local events in your area, local camps to go to, which are most of the time free. You can join the Drupal community Slack, where you can meet tons and tons of people. And that's a really good way, if you're getting into the contribution side, to have someone be able to help quickly answer some of your early questions. There's even a first contribution channel where people, mentors, hang out specifically to walk people through that. So that's a good thing to do. And then you can also check out the contributor guide. The contributor guide is on Drupal.org. It has some videos that walk you through what it means to contribute, and then also an example from one of the contributor workshops and helps you find issues for novice contributors. And novice contributor doesn't mean novice developer, it just means novice to the Drupal community. You could be a senior developer, but one of those issues is still a good way to get your feet wet and just understand the process. So plenty of different ways to get involved and support us. And we really, really appreciate your help. We serve a global community with a team of just about 15 people. And so anything that you can do to support us, we can multiply and give back to the community. So thank you in advance for anything y'all can do.
Yeah, novice tag equals good first issue label on GitHub. I suppose that's for the
Yes, exactly. And
easiest
there's
thing,
even
isn't
been
it?
talks about trying to get it renamed, so because it should
Yeah,
be that.
I think we probably should. I think that's. I remember saying, maybe speak to Rachel about a conference at some point. It was like, yeah, we should rename that. Imply something a little bit different, or can to some people. So, cool. Thanks, Tim. This has been a really good sort of trip down Drupal memory lane, actually, a little bit. So, it's great to find out more about what the DA has been doing, what you guys are going to be doing, and just hopefully build a little bit of a presence for everybody else as well. So, people maybe aren't familiar with the DA and what they do. Hopefully, this is another way for them to maybe find out about it and get
Yeah,
the
we'd love to
next.
have anybody
Yeah.
listening get involved or even just ask more questions. I mean, send them to Oliver. I'm sure he'd have me back on the show, or send them directly to me. You can find me on the association staff page. I'd be super happy to answer. I'm also Hestinet on Drupal.org and Drupal Slack. You can find me there quite easily. And yeah, thank you very much for having me, Oliver. Super fun to hang out with a friend and catch up and tell people about what we do at the DA.
Well, thanks, Tim. Sounds like a really good place to stop. So, thanks everyone for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I've been Oliver Davis. Thank you.